My name is Elon Williams, and I am the youth director here at Promise. And when Henry asked me to deliver this message, and he said it was on science and mystery, I instantly thought, well, I'll talk about the flood, or I'll talk about the Red Sea parting, or I'll talk about these big scientific things. And then when I took a moment to really think about it, I wanted to do something that was a little bit more practical and something that spoke to me. And I instantly thought of the parallel that we see between how Paul describes Abraham in Romans, and then how we see him live out his life in Genesis. It's a little bit different, but we can see how God works through him. And to give you guys a real life idea of my sermon title is Get Your Hopes Up. I get really nervous delivering sermons. I love writing them and researching them and putting them together, but actually coming up here and talking in front of you makes me really nervous. So I'm glad it's warm, so you guys will think that the sweat I have is simply because it's 1,000 degrees out here. But if you guys would open up with prayer with me. Dear Lord, I am thankful for this opportunity to be able to talk about your word, to be able to talk about some of the parallels that we see in Abraham's life of how he lived, but who he was, and how he had hope. Lord, I ask you to allow my words to be yours, to speak through me and to be able to give some insights to the people here in this tent. And if it's your will, Lord, give us a nice cool breeze for the next few minutes. In your holy and awesome name, amen. So the title of my sermon is Get Your Hopes Up. And it's about how God is for us, how God is with us, and what it means that the hope of glory is already in us. We aren't justified by our actions before God, but by faith in his grace, by the cross of Jesus Christ, and that he alone is holy, and we are made right by him. If you believe you are weak, and the world is against you, and there is nothing good in store for you tomorrow, you will eventually become disappointed, discouraged, and depressed. Abraham believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. Romans 4:20 says that Abraham gave glory to God in the middle of a hopeless situation. We're meant to learn from the experience of people in the Bible. Maybe someone here today needs to find glory. Sometimes we're told to not get our hopes up, but today I want you guys to get your hopes up. And I want to highlight verse 18. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. How can you believe in hope against hope? I've been trying to think like a 100-year-old man all week, trying to live in it. My knees hurt, my back hurts. I wanted to understand hope against all hope, what Abraham believed. Paul is giving us a synopsis or plot summary of Abraham's life and faith journey. He's given us some of the headlines that Abraham held out hope when everything seemed to be working against him. Paul talked about how Abraham is a father of many nations, that Abraham didn't weaken in his faith, that Abraham didn't waver through unbelief, that Abraham was strengthened in his faith, and that he gave glory to God. That Abraham was fully persuaded and had confidence in God's power. He basically said, Abraham is amazing. But let's take some backstory to this, because those were just the headlines. Abraham went where God told him to go. Sometimes that's all we can do, go where we think God is directing us. Abraham sets out, and there is always a story behind the glory, so we need to dig deeper. Abraham has lots of ups and downs in Genesis 12, 13, 14, and 15. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. We all have ups and downs. In Romans 4, it sounds like he walked a straight line, but it's very rarely a straight line from where God is taking you from and where God is taking you to. There is usually a lot of zigging and a lot of zagging. You'll see there were a lot of hard places. We'll start in Genesis chapter 12. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. We read that Abraham gets worried about what he doesn't have. There was a famine. Things got rough. Abraham had to move, so he went to Egypt. He gets worried that the Egyptians will want to take Sarah from him because they'll find her very beautiful. So he decides, let's tell them she's my sister. This'll end up well. Abraham gave glory to God, but not here. He lied about his wife to save himself. We have a handbook, the Bible, that is comprised of human heroes, sinners, and we should be very thankful for that. Sarah was taken into the house of Pharaoh, but God inflicted Pharaoh with harms. Was this the Abraham who didn't have a weakening faith? Was Abraham giving glory to God? And then some years passed. God made a promise that he will make a nation for himself, and it would start with one man, Abraham. The problem with Abraham and Sarah was that they didn't have the proper equipment to do what they needed to do for the promise God had spoken to them. I'm not sure if you've ever felt that way, that you don't have what it takes. When there is something that you need or something that you want or something that you desire that you believe came from the Lord and some time passes, the hope really begins to fade away. When we met Abraham in Genesis 12, he was 75 years old. When Genesis 15 happens, he is 86 years old. It's been some time, over a decade, and there is still no male child to carry on Abraham's lineage. So perhaps on this particular day, God knows, I've got to talk to my boy. He's close to giving up. And so the word of the Lord comes to Abraham in chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. God is reminding Abraham about his covenant with him. This probably sounded familiar to Abraham, as though he's already had this conversation before. Maybe Abraham is objecting to the conversation before it even begins, because it's been 11 years and nothing has happened yet. Abraham doesn't see it. In other words, I don't see a son. You told me I was going to be the father of many nations, but I don't even have one son yet. You said, but I don't see how what you said is going to come to pass. You said, but I don't see. When God says something to us, but we don't see it, it's very hard to hold on to hope. It's very difficult to keep your hopes up when God says something and weeks pass, months pass, and years pass. When you pray and weeks pass, months pass, and years pass. When you come to church faithfully, but weeks pass, months pass, and years pass. This doesn't sound like the Romans 4 Abraham. Is this the Abraham without weakening in faith? Seems like he's having a moment of weakness to me. So God took him outside. Sometimes God takes us places he can give us new perspectives so you can remember what he called you to do. God tells him to count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God, are you really going to make me do this? I get the point. I get it. There are a lot of stars. God says, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. You can't count God's majesty, though. We are being righteous when we believe God. And yet more time passes, and Sarah is still not starting to show. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abraham, her husband, as a wife. And when he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she looked with content on her mistress, Sarah. There goes the neighborhood. Romans 4 made it seem like Abraham never doubted. But Sarah sure doubted, and she went to Abraham with those doubts. It seems like Abraham is starting to doubt because he isn't just listening to Sarah's doubts, he's acting on Sarah's doubts. Sarah says, "I know what God told you, but we've been trying and we've been working on stuff, and it still ain't happening. I'm not getting any younger, and this ain't happening. Since the Lord has kept me from having children, go and sleep with my slave, and maybe we'll make a family out of that." Abraham says, "If that's what you want to do, I'm a team player. Whatever it takes, babe. I just want to fulfill God's purpose. I just want to make you happy." So Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years. Sarah gives her slave Hagar to him to be his wife, and she conceives. And Sarah said to Abraham, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abraham said to Sarah, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, and she fled from her. When Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to despise Sarah. Sarah tells Abraham that he is responsible for the wrong that she is suffering. Abraham, just like a man, "Your slave, your problem. Do with her whatever you think is best. This isn't my problem." The son that was born to Hagar, Ishmael, he became a great source of contention for God's people, the Israelites. So this is Abraham without weakening in faith? He only believes in the glory of God? When we take a moment and are honest, we think that everybody else has more faith than we have because we only see the stuff that people want us to see. We see people's highlight reels, but we never see people's cutting room floor. But there is a turning point in the story of Abraham, and it comes in Genesis 17. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." Some more years have passed, and Abraham is now 99 years old. The biological clock is no longer ticking. It's not even on the wall anymore. Abraham says that maybe they should change the plan. Abraham, the mighty man of God, the mighty man of faith, who did not waver. He didn't fall face down and worship. He fell face down and laughed. He says, God, I'm crusty, I'm tired, I'm done. He says, Sarah's too old. We can't have a child. So Abraham tells God, let's just start this nation of yours with Ishmael. Because if enough time goes by and the thing you are hoping for from God doesn't come to pass, we should just try to take matters into our own hands and do it our own way. Well, if God ain't gonna send me what I'm waiting for, I'll just make it work. I'll just make this work, God. If you're not gonna do it, I'll make it happen. God says, it's not about your plan, it's about my plan. In other words, God says, the reason I've waited 24 years is because I wanted to teach you something about hope. The reason I wanted you to be 100 years old before I made this happen, the reason I wanted you to spend a quarter of a century waiting on this to happen is because I want to teach you to hope against hope. Romans 4 told us about that Abraham did all of these things without weakening, but he lied. Without stumbling in his faith, but he laughed at God. Without weakening in his resolve, but he slept with his wife's servant. Romans 4 tells us he did all these things without weakening in his faith. How can Romans 4 and the Genesis 12 through 17 fit together? Here's how. Because for Abraham's faith to be strengthened, like the scripture says it was, it had to have something to push against. Nothing gets stronger without resistance. Nothing, not a muscle, not a marriage, not a church. Nothing gets stronger without resistance. Here's what God might be saying to someone today. I know you're losing hope. I know you're running out of time. I know you're feeling like you've wasted time. He says, hold on to my hope. Maybe your faith needs a fight. Maybe your faith needs something to fight against so strength can rise in your life. Abraham faced the facts that his body was as good as dead. Faith doesn't mean not facing the facts. Whatever brand of faith tells you that you won't face facts, it will not last and will not sustain. I think the reason Paul uses Abraham as an example and the reason God loved Abraham and the reason God used Abraham in spite of his failures, is that Abraham had the unique ability to face the facts but keep his faith. To face facts and keep your faith is the essence of hope. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. It's a contrast Paul is using. He says there is an earthly hope and sometimes it will disappoint, but then there is a heavenly hope that will never disappoint and will not put you to shame. And so God wants to teach you that sometimes you have to hope against hope. To keep your hopes up when your situation is going down. To keep your hopes up when you face the facts are against you. To keep your hopes up when the world seems against you. To keep your hopes up when what you see doesn't correspond with what God says. We've had failures behind us, and we will have failures ahead of us. Give God the glory. As we wait on God's promises to be fulfilled, let's put faith in the words that God has spoken. Maybe we have given too much to wrong things. Maybe we have given too much to our failures. Maybe we have given too much to our feelings. Let's give God the glory instead. Let's give Him the wrong things. Let's give Him our failures. Let's give Him our feelings. You may think that everything is against you, but God says that He isn't. You may feel lost, but God says that you are found. Believe. Get your hopes up. Let's give God the glory. If you guys would pray with me. Dear Lord, I am so thankful that we have the Bible and stories of people who make mistakes just like us. Lord, I'm thankful that in that Bible, you teach us that you will make all things right, that because of Christ, we've been given salvation, that it isn't by our works, our deeds, or the things that we do. Lord, I ask you to continue to bless us and to continue to allow us to be able to hope in hope. In your holy and awesome name, amen.